So we're in this series this morning, and what we're doing is we're answering a question. We've taken a little bit of a riff off of the old question that's been asked over and over from about 1895 on, of what would Jesus do? And what we're, instead of asking that question, we're asking the question of what would Jesus undo? That as he sees the world around him, what is it he sees that grieves his heart? What is it that when Jesus sees in our lives, he says, I would undo that. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. The first week we talked about the fact that Jesus would undo this spiritual indifference, this lukewarm living, lukewarm spirit, the meh life. Last week we talked about that about hollow worship, that worship isn't just the songs that we sing, but more importantly, that worship is a life that we live in honor to God, that Jesus wants all of our hearts, not just portions. Now, as we get into this week, there's a phrase that kind of came to my mind. And I don't know its origins. I don't know all the different things. But one of the things that has happened is we've kind of claimed this in our world. It's fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it. And as I think about that, I think about myself at times. In my life, I left college at about 22 years old and married and headed from San Diego to Nashville, Indiana, this little church in the midst of the countryside. And here I am, 22-year-old kid, and I'm trying to figure out life still. You know, it's Kim and I's outside of being raised in the church and all these different things, then in college where we're still kind of in this bubble, and all of a sudden I'm in the midst of life. And I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, but I know my calling. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know for certain I'm supposed to go here. So we leave from San Diego, go to Nashville, Indiana, and my first staff position as a youth pastor. And I'll admit that at some point, I don't know where I picked this up, but it seemed like there was this unwritten rule that, or at least unspoken as well, that I needed to at least put forth a understanding, a look, action outside that I had it together. So, you know, here I am. I had my suit, my double-breasted suit, tie on. That will not happen, by the way. And I, at least on the outside, had everything together. While on the inside, I'm still trying to figure it out. I didn't have all the answers. I was struggling in different things in my own life, in my own spiritual growth. But I made everybody, I at least tried to find myself faking it until I made it. What I found out was that at times I was very much trapped into other people's perceptions of what a pastor should be. Other people's expectations of what that was being. And my calling was very real, and I was trying to live into what I thought other people would expect within that instead of living into what Jesus expected in that. I was trying to fake it. And I know I'm not alone, and what I found is that there's a lot of people out in our world, and there's a lot of people in the church that are acting at times. And I'm not talking about on the stage or in the movies, but trying to put on this persona that we're one way when in reality it's not quite that. Something totally different. What would Jesus undo? This week I want to talk about hypocrisy. It's Jesus would undo in this us a behavior and attitude that he despised with his heart. That those who claim one thing and yet live differently. Now, I understand hypocrisy isn't fun to talk about. And it's easy to point out in other people's lives. Not so fun to see in our own. And we want to excuse it. Well, you know, we give all these different things when people say, you know, well, I don't go to church because it's just a bunch of hypocrites. In fact, there's an old running joke that a pastor was told that, and he says, well, you might as well come join. We got plenty of room. And we want to dismiss it. We want to excuse it. But the reality is that dismisses the very real pain, because they're disappointed in the behavior or actions of those who claim to follow Christ. That whether they not want to believe in Christ, that's a side issue. But the reality is, in our society, even if they want to put down Christians, they still hold a certain expectation of level of behavior and understanding of who we claim to be. Maybe you've experienced this, where there was someone that you looked up to, maybe even spiritually, and they said one thing and they did something else. And it's incredibly painful. The big result is that many people, as a result, walk away from God, because hypocrisy is this horrible misrepresentation of what God has called every believer on their own life. The author and theologian Brennan Manning once said, the single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. What would Jesus undo? Jesus would undo the hypocrisy in our world and in the church. So this morning, let's go ahead and build a foundation today in understanding what hypocrisy is. And to do that fully, we need to acknowledge also what it is not. So if you're taking notes, if you have your sermon notes and you're following along, I invite you to join me. As we understand that hypocrisy is not the difference between what we do and what we wish we did. It's not the difference of how we behave and how we wish we behave. You know, Paul in Romans, I do the things that I do not wish to do because, you know, it's not that. That's guilt over sin, not hypocrisy. There's a difference between sinning and being hypocritical. Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we really are. It's the difference between what we say and how we live. It's the difference between our public persona and our private character. What would Jesus undo? He would undo the show. When real life isn't consistent with what we're putting on the outside. In fact, the Greek word used is hypokrites. It's exactly where we get the word. It literally means an actor or a stage player. It means the one who hides behind a mask. In the Greek theater, they would put on masks, and that's what they would call the mask, a hypokrites. That I'm play acting. It's not who I really am, but it's who I want you to see me as. And so they would wear these masks. And that's what Jesus hated. It's when on the outside they would show one thing, but on the inside it was something very different. In fact, Paul has this verse in the letter to Titus. In verse 1, chapter 1, he's talking about and writing about the teachers that they claim to know God by their actions, by the way they live, they actually deny him. Jesus hated it. He talked directly about what hypocrisy was, right to the teachers and the lawyers and scribes and the Pharisees of the day. He would say things like, he talked directly about that anytime you're giving in order to be seen, wanting to someone know how generous you are. That's hypocrisy. Instead, he said, give and let the left hand not know what the right hand is doing. Whenever you're praying to be heard, because the Pharisees would literally stand on the street corner putting on this outward spiritual appearance to oppress people as they shouted out these prayers. Jesus said, that's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy when you fast to be noticed. It's hypocrisy when you criticize someone for doing something and yet you do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's hypocrisy when people were taking advantage of the poor and yet claiming to be following the teachings of God. Jesus hated this and never spoke more harshly than he did when he was talking to the religious leaders who say they did one thing and they put up the face and yet it wasn't that way. In Matthew chapter 23, and I invite you to turn to this passage, we'll be kind of looking at this. There's this section. And we call it the seven woes. And he's talking about woe to you that live like this. You say you live like this, but you do this. And we're several of these in at this point in verse 27. We're gonna read this. It says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs who look so beautiful on the inside. I mean on the outside, but on the inside you're full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. We move on to verse 33. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? What is the hypocrite? It's the one who wants to look good on the outside, but on the inside isn't. They're very far from God. They want to look righteous and be upstanding in the church and all this other stuff, and they're keeping up the face, and they're inside just struggling. We want the illusion of public virtue, but inward, we're full of all the other stuff of this world. So what's interesting to me here is that Jesus didn't say, woe to you who say bad words. He didn't say, woe to you who do bad things. And while I'm not saying that bad and sinful practices are okay, what I am saying is that Jesus is talking to the church. He's talking to the very religious leaders, and his disciples are hearing this, and he's being very intentional to them as he points this, what's going on the outside, and he's saying, woe to you that act like you're perfect, and you're not. Woe to you who put on the show. Not woe to you who are imperfect, but woe to you who are imperfect, but acting like you're something different. What would Jesus undo? He would undo the spirit of hypocrisy when what we show is different than who we are. Now, if you're a little bit uncomfortable right now, join the crowd. It's easy for us to declare, well, I know someone that needs to hear this. I'm going to be sending them a link or I'm glad that person's over there. That's easy. It's not so easy when you recognize your own inconsistency. But when you recognize it, What I believe is that it means you're open to the Spirit of God showing you truth that you now need to act on. What I want you to see is that there's hope for the hypocrite in all of us. Jesus, in verses 25 and 26 of Matthew, he says this: "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You're showing the show, but you don't have the substance." But then he says this: "Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, then the outside will be clean as well." Jesus is declaring that just because it's been this way doesn't mean it has to stay that way. First, we must begin by letting the Spirit of God do a work internally in us. We have to say, "God, I know. Holy Spirit, I know you're speaking to me. And I know this is uncomfortable, God. I often don't want to admit it, but it's uncomfortable." And it doesn't start by being good or by doing certain things. It starts as we set our entire life down at the foot of the cross. Because when the Spirit of God is working in you and internally you're being transformed into the image of Christ, as that continues to work, as that process happens, as daily we turn everything over, we say, "God, I see this, I understand this, I'm putting it at the feet of the cross. Help me, give me strength, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, not my actions." But as we do that, as we continue to lay that down every day, every process, everything that I've been putting out in front of me, what happens is that I understand that I don't have it all together, but you do. And then as an overflow of who you're becoming, who God is making you on the inside, you begin to display the goodness of God on the outside. That it's not a fake it until you make it. It's let God do it and then live it. Let God's mercy, God's grace take control. And then as a reflection of what is going on internally, it's no longer an act to fool people on the outside, because then it's the very realness of God. "I once was blind, but now I see." Today, beginning right now, I fully believe that we can have a breakthrough. I fully believe that we can have an aha moment spiritually in our lives, both individually and corporately as a church. When we finally decide that it's time to drop the masks. When we own up to the fact that I've been faking it. I'm pretending. I've been showing one thing and reality, I'm not really there. I'm not saying that spiritually everything's easy and night and cut, because it's not. There are messy areas in life. There are messy areas as we turn those things over to God. But what I am saying is that Jesus, as I look at Scripture, Jesus has a zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but he has an unlimited grace for a sinner in need of forgiveness. It's time to stop play acting. And yes, people are going to see what's going on, but guess what? People are going to see what's going on. That the Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is moving. And that while I may not be perfect, I know the God who is. And that I'm not living in my own power, I'm not living in my own strength. I struggle at times. But that God is faithful. And He is more than compassionate enough to meet me where I am and not to leave me there, but to proceed and help me grow and get further on in the journey. That every day I continue to grow and become more like Christ, not by my own effort, but by the pure obedience to what God is calling me to do. Jesus can't stomach the show. But when anyone who's hurting drops the mask and says, God, forgive me, heal me, redeem me, save me, change me, Jesus' answer is always yes. Because He didn't come for those who appear to be righteous. He came for sinners. He didn't come for those who look healthy on the outside. He came for those who already knew they were sick. He doesn't have a tolerance for the show. He has unlimited grace for a sinner in need of grace and repentance. I believe that there are those here this morning that want to drop the mask. And we struggle with it. Because we ask ourselves, well, what happens if people find out? But I have doubts. What if people find out that I struggle with this? What if people find out that I know I'm not perfect? What if they find out I know that I have faults? Here's the truth. You have nothing to fear when you have nothing to hide. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin doesn't prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Here's what I want, and I hope we'll understand this morning. Some this morning will recognize and own the fact that you've been hiding behind a mask. And when you drop the mask and you're honest, there is power in it. One of the first steps in an AA meeting is that you recognize that you have an issue. One of the first steps in a church that's true to itself is understanding I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. And that it begins there. You're only as strong as you are honest. And this is the perfect time for us to step by faith into a community, a consistent group of other believers, and that we join one another in open confession for our need for God. We're not perfect people living a perfect life. We fail Him at times. We're sinners, we're strugglers, we've all messed up, we all have battles, we all have struggles, we're all afraid at times, we all have inconsistency at times. But when we do, what we do want to do is one thing, and then we do something else. We don't want to have those thoughts, and then yet we do. We don't want to go back to that old life, but yet there's sometimes this temptation, this pressure to do that. But when we come together and we find other people that are along in this journey together, that we've all put in our faith one day at a time in a God who cares, who loves and forgives and has mercy and grace, and that overabounds. What happens is we finally suddenly find this moment of truth, and the truth will set you free. Because when we're hiding, we're always going to be in bondage. Whoever conceals their sins will not prosper. Whoever drops the masks and renounces them, we find mercy in the presence of God. Because Jesus has no tolerance for hypocrisy, but has unlimited grace for a sinner in need of forgiveness. Now, I recognize Paul said, well, some people have this argument, if God's grace is, then we'll just keep on sinning. That's not the way it works. That God is calling you to more than that. He's calling you to put down those things each and every day in order that our life would then conform to the life that he has shown us. One that was without sin and is holy. David got caught. He thought, you know, I'm king, I can do anything. He got caught. Nathan, in God's leading, took his life in his own hands and went before the king and shared a story. As a result, we have Psalm 139. As Chris read this morning, I want to invite you to pray this prayer. It's so easy to point out the hypocrisy in other people, and it's so difficult to see it in ourselves. And so David prays this prayer, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way, and lead me into the way of everlasting. Search me, God. Show me. Show me the areas where I need to have faith. Show me the areas where there's sin in my life that I need to turn over to you. Show me in the things that I need to take in my step of faith. God, show me where I'm wearing a mask and I don't even know it." Because if you wear it long enough, the thing is, if you hide behind the mask long enough, you often start to believe that lie. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Hypocrisy is the gap between what we show and who we are. So what do we do with that gap? We don't close it by just doing more stuff. We close the gaps by putting Christ in its place. We don't close the gap with our outward behaviors. "Now I'm pleasing to God." We close the gap with Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our source. He is our healing. He is our redemption. He is the one who brings forgiveness. We let Jesus do this inward work in our lives, and we slowly turn things over to God each and every day. And sometimes we face things that are temptations, and we say, "Get behind me, Satan. I've given that to God. I don't have to pick it back up. I don't have to stand with that mask any longer." And as we continue to do that, what happens is the outward behavior finally becomes a true reflection of who we are because of the inward work of grace that comes through Jesus Christ. It's easy to claim we're not hurting, but we can have a breakthrough moment in our life if we take off the mask. We have to be willing to declare that I need help. I have an addiction. I need someone to pray in strength to help me out, to hold me accountable. We need to be able to understand and declare, not just for the show, but for in reality, that maybe my marriage isn't where it needs to be. And so I need people to come and support my family and pray for us and counsel us, because we're not there. We've been showing it's all good, but we're really hurting on the inside. Maybe we're looking like we're great today. I'm smiling, but you have no idea. I'm scared to death of this medical report that I just got. And I don't have the faith. I need someone to come alongside me. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but whoever drops the masks and renounces it finds mercy. Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but he has unlimited grace for a sinner like me in need of forgiveness and a Savior. Now, I believe that there are some here today that truly want to drop the masks, and you just don't know how. And I want you to know that if you drop the mask, and when you know the truth will set you free. And so Jesus wants to undo the show. He's not asking for people to look perfect. Jesus was perfect. Instead, he wants us for us to acknowledge that the perfect one lives in us, and that as we hand over our life to him, he will transform us as he lives through us. No tolerance for the show. Unlimited grace for those that are honest in need of help. So we pray, God, Father, today, do a work. And that there may be some here today that say, I need this dangerous prayer. I need to take off the mask. Are you willing? Do you have the strength to set it at Jesus' feet? And pray this dangerous prayer of, God, search me. Know my heart. Test me. You know everything about me. There's nothing I can do to hide from you, Lord. You know the real me. Search me and know me. And test me and find me if there's any offensive way in me, Lord. Is there anyone that needs to take that mask off today? Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Take that step. God, we thank you so much today. We thank you that on the other side of this play acting, that there's freedom and healing and grace and mercy. That God, you are more than enough for us. That if we would take the step to say, God, I am a sinner. That I know you are enough, but I've been acting as if you haven't been. And that I want to take off this mask, Lord. I confess my sins before you. I acknowledge that I am in need of you. I acknowledge that I have sinned and have fallen totally short of who you've called me to be. That I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died for me and has made a way for me. And that through his sacrifice on the cross and through his resurrection that I can be reunited and made right before you, Lord, in a way that I could never do on my own. And so I confess the masks that I wear. I confess the sins that I choose to be a part of. And I lay them at your feet, Lord. Help me not to pick them back up. Give me strength. Give me people in your church to come alongside me and nurture you in me. That I just wouldn't fake it till I made it, Lord, but that I can understand that in you I can make it totally. And I receive that gift. That there's freedom in you. Freedom in your truth. Freedom in your righteousness. And that it will set me free, Lord. Help us. Help us to be your church. Not because we're perfect, but that in you, in living into who you've called us to be, that in laying down our life daily as a living sacrifice, God, that we would be conformed and transformed more and more like you each and every day. that your church would be known as a place of healing, a place of rest, a place of freedom. And that your church is not just a place that we come and gather on a Sunday morning, but that it moves in and out of the streets of this community. That we constantly are pointing our lives to you. Transform us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Go and preach the gospel with your life and with your words. You're dismissed.